Okay.
Anybody that knows me knows that I like to sit in a tree stand. Yes, I'm a hunter. I love hunting. I mean, there's just nothing like it to me. And, I just love hanging out in a tree stand. I mean, the quiet, the peace. I mean, nobody's out there bothering me. I mean, the deer don't even come around me. I mean, I just sit there, you know. I told Pastor Smiley, I'm out there to hunt, and it's very rare that I see anything. And anyway, last week, the Lord really used it to, deal with me on some things. I was sitting in the tree stand, and I was just contemplating. I like to do that a lot. It's quiet. I mean, really, there's nothing out there to distract me whatsoever. Most of the time, I really get lost that I'm even in the woods sitting there. It's just, my mind is blank. I couldn't even tell you if a deer walked in front of me at times or not, because I just am so deep in thought. And so I was really that deep in thought the other day. And then the Lord brought to my memory, brought to me that there's something. He's having some issues with me. And that woke me up. And I said, man, there's no sense in fighting. I'm going to lose. So I might as well go ahead and just face it. And when I started realizing, wow, this is real. It was bubbling inside of me. I was kind of angry because, it was okay with certain things in my life. Not too long ago, but now this thing was, and it was just boiling inside me because I'm like, really? Is this really what you want? So anyway, by the time I left the woods, I mean, I was tore up. I sent a text to all the pastors and stuff that I know. I said, please, I have a very serious matter going on in my life. There's some things that need to be taken care of. Will you guys please pray for me and my brothers? They did. I'm sure they did. Most of them sat back saying, yeah, they'll do it. Yes, sir, or whatever. Brother Troy over in Hornell sent me a verse. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. That's what I'm going to preach on, because I tell you what, it touched my heart second to none. And I don't have these things down pat, but I tell you what, open my eyes to some things. So if you would, turn to Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. And it's very powerful. You'll see as we get through these things that there's, listen, if you read the Bible and God really sticks something out to you, stay there. Just don't move. Just stay right there and learn the whole entire thing. So for all week long, since last week, I've been going through this thing verse by verse, word by word. And I've been studying Psalm 37, 1 through 8. Matter of fact, I have it on my phone because it's going to be a memory. I'm going to learn verses 1 through 8. It's going to be my memory verse. I'm going to learn all eight verses. There's more than 8 verses, but those 8 verses I'm going to memorize. And I just thought it was very powerful. And the Lord used it to touch my heart, to show some things to me, give me some relief. For those of you that are heavy burdened today, there is relief. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He can give that relief to you if you want it bad enough. The thing is, He's got to get you to the point where you want that relief. Because you're really comfortable in your misery. We all know what that's like. Comfortable in your misery. More people are more comfortable in their misery than they are in victory.
That's right. Come on.
Huh? I know, because I was one of them. All them years living that way. And I was more comfortable in my misery than I was to step out and have victory in my life. But when I did step out, let me tell you something. What a freedom. What a freedom in Jesus Christ. What a freedom we have. You know, I don't say this to blow anything up or to say that it's a practice in my life, but I have freedom to mess up so God can teach me. I don't have that burden that you guys are carrying around with yourself. That won't let yourself be free. Not only do you have the burden of trying to please the Lord, but you stand in your misery and you have no freedom to learn anything. God can't move you anywhere. What's He going to do in your life? Stagnant. You're like that puddle of water gets stagnant. What starts happening? All that stuff starts growing in there. Bacteria, fungus, flies, mosquitoes, and all. That's what most of your lives are. Just stagnant. God can't do a thing with it. He can't clean it up. And then it's starting to look clear, and you stir it up, and what's it look like? Garbage again. That's what most of our lives are. And I'm just telling you right now, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Him. There's victory in what He does. And so I named this 10 ways a Christian can have victory in their life. And we're going to start right in verse 1, Psalm 37, start with 1. I'm going to read 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit the way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And it shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now if you just read those first 8 verses, they're just comforting. They're just powerful in themselves without even getting into them and searching them. Just knowing that God would actually do that for somebody. Just knowing that God would actually do that for his child. He wants to give you these things that are in those first 8 verses. And I mean, he wants them to, they're yours for the taking, if you'll take them. He wants to give these to you. And it just hit my heart. I said, I got to look deeper into this thing. There's something more to this than just reading and getting comfort out of this Psalms. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot in this. So we're going to start off here. 10 ways to have peace, joy, and victory in your Christian life. I'm going to give you 10 ways. You may count more or whatever, but I'm going to give you 10 ways. And number one is fret not. The definition of fret from the Webster's 1828 dictionary is to agitate violently, to agitate, to disturb, to make rough, to cause to ripple, as to fret the surface of the water, to tease or irritate, to vex, to make angry. In other words, don't let what the unsaved do get to you. Because in verse 1 it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We sit there and each and every one of us will watch these unsaved people and watch them prosper and have things in their life and wonder, why us? God says, don't let that get to you. Don't let that thing fret you. Don't let that ripple your cake. Don't let that disturb your life. Then he's going to give you what he wants you to do for him. He doesn't want you to worry about what they're doing, what they're getting, or what they're not getting. Listen, what they're out there doing, they think they're getting away with, but I'm telling you right now, he's keeping score. He's keeping record. It's written down. You don't have to worry about it. That's why he doesn't want you to fret. He's going to take care of it. Here's the sad thing. Here's the sad thing. The sad thing is we should be praying for these people getting out there and trying to get them into Jesus Christ so they don't have all those things marked off against them. That's all that's happening. He's keeping that record. And for the unsaved, they're going straight to hell without Jesus Christ. And here we are, fretting, angry, disturbed, bitter over what's going on in their life because they have this and we don't. Yours is coming in the future. Yours is in heaven. You have things here. I understand that. And it may not be equal to those that are lost out there and they have everything. But there's a better thing coming. You know what? They don't have it. Isn't that a shame that we'd rather sit there and fret over that? We'd rather let that stir all the anger and bitterness up inside of us because of what they have and we don't. Oh, poor child of God, you have nothing. You're a liar. You have everything. You just don't realize it. You got your affection set on the wrong thing. He says, don't set your affection with the things here on the earth. Set them up in heaven. No, that's where it should be. Then think about that very person that you're fretting against. Think about that very one that you're fretting against. You're going to watch them one day burn in hell if they're not saved. You're going to see that. And you wanted to fret against them? Lord delivered me something about 2 months ago. And what a freedom when he delivered me from this thing.
Amen.
And I mean, he delivered me. You can ask my wife. It used to bother me a whole bunch when I would sit there and watch. I was a fretter. I used to sit there and it would get me so angry and I had so much bitterness in me because I just could not believe the unsaved people were getting that and I was getting nothing. And I mean, it would fester and I mean, you could just show it and how I acted towards the people and this and that. And I just got on my face one day and I mean, in tears, and I begged God, please, let me not fret anymore. Get this thing out of my life. And you know what? I got delivered. I mean, delivered from that.
Amen.
Do I hold that in me anymore, Amy? You know I don't. You know I don't. Wash up. Free of it, gone, done. What a relief. What a freedom not to have that in your life. You know why? That'll control a lot of what you do and don't do. That'll control what you do and not do. That will make you go out there and want things that you shouldn't even want. God, listen to me. We pray for things over and over again, and when God doesn't give it to us, we get angry at him. We think that we deserve to have that. And he's saying, no, you don't need that. You need this over here. And so you think, well, they got this, then I'm going to go after this too. That will make you do things that you would normally not do as a Christian.
It will make you say things and do things that you should normally would not do because you want what they have. Because you might want something equal to what they have, and you will not get it.
There's things in our life, and you know that we no longer can do that other people can do. And that includes Christians. There's Christians in this room that can do things that me and my wife can't. Just ain't gonna happen anymore. So now I get in this mindset where I'm fretting over anybody, whether saved or unsaved, and I start fretting over what they have. Guess what that makes me do? Makes me go out there and do things that I normally wouldn't do. Makes me act and say things that I normally wouldn't do because I'm trying to scheme my way in to getting what they have. Just trying to wiggle my way right in, little by little, just trying to work myself in there, get in there and get what they have. And that's not what God wanted. And that was not His intention in my life at all. I remember when I first got saved and I got called to preach, and pastor's like, go ahead and you can start getting up there and preaching and getting your practice in. I thought, hey, that's it. God's going to use me. He's going to send me out to the world. I'm going to go preach to everybody. I tried to wiggle my way into doing that. You know what the Lord did? Shut it down. Shut it down. Why? Oh, let me get it. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I wanted what Tim McVeigh had. I wanted what Cliff Taylor had. But do you know how many years these guys have been in it? Do you know how many years they sat under being taught? Do you know how many years they studied that Bible? Do you know how many years it took them before God finally sent them out anywhere? But I wanted to wiggle my way in. I fretted against it. I wanted what they had. I was jealous because I thought my pastor was closer to them than he was me. Maybe start doing stupid things, saying stupid things, feeling stupid ways, because I was fretting against them. He says, don't do that. That can happen whether you're doing it towards saved or unsaved people. Fret not. The definition of fret, I gave you that. We should have an attitude of wanting Jesus to save them and pray for them, but we fret over them. But when we fret over them, we will not do these things, and they see how you feel about them with our attitude and cause friction and strife. Instead of fretting, let's start praying that God touches their lives as He has done in ours. Are we so selfish that we'll sit there and let God do something in our life but not care about the person next to us because we're fretting against what they have? God forbid if I never, ever went out there and never said anything to my brother ever again because I think that I fret against what he has and I get something in between me and him and I won't go up there and I won't tell him about Jesus Christ or love him or pray for him or just be there for him. God forbid if I would ever do that to my brother or anybody else that I think that I have something against. But you know what? That's the attitude we get in. How many of us, you know in your heart, how many of you are sitting here today? You know that God has already showed you that person that you're doing it against. And let me tell you something, how come they're not sitting in the church pews? Because none of us want to deal with them. Because we're angry at what they have. We're upset that they're getting it, we're not. And I'm a saved person, I'm not getting nothing. That's the attitude we have towards these people. I'll tell you what, it's a path of destruction.
Right.
And I just thank God that He delivered me from that garbage 2 months ago, at least 2 months ago. And I'm in a freedom. Freedom.
I don't ever want to get entangled in that garbage again. But we should have a desire that God will touch. You know, Pastor preached at 11 o'clock. He said, remember when you sat there and said, God, go ahead, use me and put me anywhere. And I yelled out there and I said, be careful how you say it. Because I'm telling you right now, when you tell God you want to be His servant and that you want Him to send you out and do this and that, I'm just telling you now, you better strap up.
You think you're living a life now that you go through things. Let me tell you now. You go ahead and ask God and say, my wife, she remembers. She said, oh Lord, make me into a servant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How's it feeling now? How's it feeling? When you ask God to make you into a servant, let me tell you how it feels. It's not a very pretty thing. It's not a very happy thing until the end. When you step out, when you finally step out, He gives you that deliverance, and you whatever thing He was working with you on, I can tell you now, it's a hallelujah, shouting, amen, I'm glad to have it, blah, blah, blah. But let me tell you something, going through it wasn't like that. Dark, hard times. But yet, we want to sit here and say we want to be a servant of God, won't even talk to those that we fret against. We all have that. We all have it.
I just told you, I'm not confessing my sin to you because you're a human being. I don't have to confess my sin to you. I confess my faults to you. But I confess my sins to God because He's the one I sin against. But I'm just telling you now, I had it in my life. He wants to deliver people from that. I'm just telling you right now, He doesn't want that kind of attitude because it will put something in between you and that person. And I don't know why I'm stuck in that, but that's where we are anyway.
Amen.
We are not above them or we're not any better. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you." Let me tell you something. If you think in this room for one second that you are not an evildoer one time in your life, you're sadly mistaken. You've missed the mark. You don't even understand salvation yet. Okay? Point blank. We are all evildoers. All had sin in our life. All had that nature that separated us from God. And you know what? It had to be dealt with. And Paul said, "Hey, and such were some of you. Such were some of you." Who are we any better than anybody that's out there lost? I would never treat anybody that I work with, and I mean work with, I mean ministry. I don't look at them like they're unequal to me. I know what the deal is. I know where they stand with God, and I know where I stand with God. But I don't sit there and walk around like that. I don't sit there and walk around with my nose stuck up in the air and thumbing at them. God forbid if I ever get an attitude like that. Did I ever treat you like that? You know I never did. Chris Farwell, you think I ever treated her like that? Not a chance. Not for one second did I ever do that to them. I don't do that to people. You know what? That's what we do when we're fretting. That's what we do. We stick our nose up at them. We don't want nothing to do with them. Because you have that and I don't. He says, stop doing that. Don't do that. You want to have some joy in your life, some peace and some victory? Get rid of the fretting. Get it out of your life. Number two, trust in the Lord. The definition of trust is to trust in, to confide in, to place confidence in, to rely on. That's the trust that we need to have with Jesus Christ. What is that called? To trust in, to confide in, to place confidence in, to rely on. Listen to those things. To trust in, to confide in, to place confidence in, to rely on. That is trust. And we need to get to that point. Well, I say we, because me, myself, need to get to that point with Jesus Christ. Yes, I have some of it, but I don't have all the trust that I need in Jesus Christ. My life would be so much better if I did. And I'm a hard-headed. I know that and still don't do it. But I'm just saying, listen to these words. We need to trust. Confide. Who do we have to confide in? Yes, I have a wife who I can confide everything in. I know that. But there's somebody else who's mightier who wants me to confide in him. That's Jesus Christ. And I need to start confiding in him. What's really going on in me? You know what? Maybe I don't want to come out and tell my wife something that I'm dealing with. Maybe it's something personal. I just don't. But I can tell that to Jesus Christ and I need to confide in him. That's what this is. Part of trust is to place confidence in. We all have troubles. We're struggling. Whether it be financially, physically, whatever, mentally, whatever they may be. How much confidence do you have in Jesus Christ that He'll do what needs to be done? How much? That's part of trust. Part of trust is having that confidence and knowing that Jesus Christ is going to do the right thing. Do you ever know that He's going to do the right thing for us? Does it ever get in your head? We sit back and go, well, He didn't answer it that way, but He's doing it the right way. He knows what's right. He knows what's best. And we need to start having that confidence that He knows better than we do. We don't have that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ because we're always trying to change what He's trying to work. Oh, I trust You, Lord. Oh, yeah, well, You're going to answer it that way? No, I think it'd be better this way. Oh, we're not trusting Him. We don't have no confidence in Him then. We have no confidence. Lord, You really want me to go? That's not good. Really, Lord, the road is better this way. It's more so. No, You really want me to go this way? You see, we don't have that confidence in Him that we should. Just don't have it. That's part of trusting, is having that confidence in Jesus Christ. To rely on. I rely on my mate a lot. I rely on Amy a lot. I mean, I rely on her a lot. But I need to rely on Jesus Christ even more because she can fall. She can stumble. She can bring it all down, but Jesus Christ never will. Part of trust is relying. Part of trust in Jesus Christ is relying on what He can do. We need to have confidence and rely on the very thing that He can do in our lives. That He knows what's best for us. Rely on that. That that He knows the answer. He already knows what needs to happen. He knows the place we need to be. And we need to have confidence in that. We need to be able to rely on Him. And you know what? We can't rely on Him. We can't trust Him if we don't start doing it. It's just that simple. My wife says, you know, hon, she goes, I wish I could trust like you do sometimes. I said, you know how you do it? She goes, how? I said, just start doing it. That's just it. That's just the answer. I don't know any other answer but just to start doing it. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to show you one time, then two times, then three times, and four times. And the more you start trusting, the more you'll see, oh. And then, you know what? The more confidence you'll have in Jesus Christ. And you don't think He wants to give that to you? He sure does. He doesn't want you trusting in your heart. He doesn't want you trusting in yourself, because you'll mess it all up. But He wants you trusting in Him. That builds confidence. Builds confidence. Gives you something you can rely on. Listen, is it easier to rely on somebody you can trust and have confidence in? Or is it easier to rely on somebody who is wishy-washy and part-time they will, part-time they won't? Well, guess which one we rely on? The wishy-washy part-time one. That's obvious in all of our lives. I say our lives because that needs to. So trust. If we look at the definition of trust, confide in, place confidence, and rely on, it is nothing of ourselves. Do you know we have to give, relinquish all power of that to somebody else? Not us. It's not on us. It's on Him. We have to give that up. Take all that power, all that confidence, all that trust, all that relying on yourself, and you give it over to Him. That's what those words describe. Had nothing to do with me. He just wants me to go ahead, start that initiation, start that trust, and put that confidence in Him, and He takes care of it all. He wants me to give up all that power of myself doing everything and give it over to Him. Bang, He'll take care of it. That's the motion He's trying to tell you to do. That's the act He's trying to tell you to do. That's the part in your heart that where He's trying to get you to get to. That He wants you to get to that point in your life. He wants you to get to that point in your life. Is it always easy? Of course not. Everything is to be Christ-centered. It all goes to Him. It is placed in Him, and in Him, and in turn, He takes care of it all. Trust Him for what He can do. He is God. He is, or is He so small and powerless in your heart that you can't trust Him? How small? How big is God? I was dealing with somebody the other day. I said, I'm sorry, your God is so small. Forgive you for having such a small God. I said, mine's big. The person replied, no, I have the same God as you do. I said, then you must believe that He has all power, that He can do anything.
Come on.
That's what I said. My exact words. Oh, I'm sorry, you have such a small God. No, I have the same God as you. Then you must realize what He can do. There's nothing He can't do except for let you into heaven without Jesus Christ and lie. We all have a big God here, right? No. Think about what your God really is. Because the one in this Bible is all-powerful, almighty. There's nothing He can't do. There's nothing He can't change. I'm in a heap of trouble when it comes to finances. But you know what? I have a Father that has eternal riches. And if He wants to take care of it, He's going to take care of it. If not, I still have my wife and kids. I still have salvation. I still have a church. Why am I going to worry about money when my Father is the richest of all? If He wants to take care of it, He's going to take care of it. Do you see me stressing about anything? No, I do not. There's nothing I can do. You know what I told my wife? I'm so at the end of it. All I have left to do is trust Him. All I have left to do is trust Him. I don't have anybody else or anything else I can trust.
Amen.
That's just God's honest truth. I don't have it. I'm at the end. It's at the end. Boom. It's over with. All I have left now is to trust God. And let me tell you something. Getting to that point was a hard, scary place. And it still is. Because right now, there is no way, no way, no way, and I say this with all honesty, there is no way, no way, no way I could ever deliver my family from the mess we're in. None. None. Not one inkling of it. But God can.
That's right.
But God can. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with every breath that I'm taking to you right now. And let me tell you something, it takes a lot to believe that. It takes everything that I am to believe that. It takes all that I am to believe that because I'm in the flesh. But I know that I have a Father who wants to take care of me and my family. I have believed that. Trust. Is God so powerless in your heart that you can't trust Him? As a human, as one who is in the flesh, this is hard to do. But the more we do, the more He proves it, the easier it becomes. When we don't, He can't show Himself trustworthy to you. We got to allow Him to put some trust. We got to allow Him to take care of us. We have to allow Him to take control of our life. Because if we don't, then how trustworthy is He going to be in our heart? He's not. He's not. We're not going to have any trust in Him. Hey, how do you start trusting? You meet somebody. We met our pastor 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, whatever. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I didn't trust him. I didn't trust anybody in this church. But the more I got to know him, the more he helped me. And I'm not talking about with finances. I'm talking about with just love and companionship and talking and all that. The more I got to see that this man was real, this thing was real, guess what? The more I trusted him. The more I relied on him. The more I put my confidence in him. And then guess what? He taught me and showed me this man, Jesus Christ. And guess what? I can do that with him even more. God knows we have problems with trusting people, especially for those of us who've been hurt the way we have been. He knows that we have trust issues, but you know what? If we don't start trusting, we're never going to build any confidence in Him. You've got to just start trusting. You've got to let Him do what He needs to do in your life. That's how we're going to get there. You can't have any confidence in Him. The second half of this verse says to do good. In other words, when something comes up and you pray, wait on Him, and you're not sure what the next move is, wait on Him and do good. Do what you know is right. Do what you know is good in His eyes. Don't slack. Don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, don't give up the hope. I don't have any clue what the next move is for my family. I have none. I have none, but I just tell you this. I'm not going to stop doing what I know He likes. I'm not going to give up. I'm reading my Bible. I'm not going to give up praying. I'm not going to give up preaching. I'm not going to give up stopping the ministry. I'm not going to give up on my family. I'm not going to give up stopping working. I'm going to do everything that I can that show Him that I'm here. Lord, I trust You. I'm waiting on You. I'm resting on You. I'm going to do good because that's what Your Word told me to do. Trust in Him and do good. That's the second half of that verse, is do good. If I close this Bible right now, with the way me and my family stand on some things, and I walk away, I'm telling you right now, that's the worst destruction that could ever happen. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, that would destroy everything I ever stood for. He says, do good. What's good? It ain't nothing I can do, but it's what He can do. He says, do good. Number three. So we got fret not, trust, do good. Number three, delight thyself also in the Lord. To have or take great pleasure in is the meaning of delight. To be greatly pleased or rejoiced in. To have or take great pleasure in. Delight thyself in the Lord. Take pleasure in your Lord. Take pleasure in your Savior. The one who can give you that pleasure. Listen, let me tell you something that we all know, most of us as adults, and I try to pound this in the heads of my teens, you're not going to find pleasure outside this church. You're not going to find pleasure outside of Jesus Christ. You think this world's going to give you pleasure? Look at me as a witness. Look at my body. Look at the things that I carry with me. And I'm going to say it right now, if you call that pleasure at 43 years old, that I have a body of an 80-year-old, then you go ahead and enjoy yourself. But don't say we didn't warn you. I'm telling you right now, there ain't no pleasure in worldly things. There ain't no pleasure. What's it do? It's heartache, heartbreak. I mean, everything you can think of, it's there for you if you want it. Delight thyself in the Lord. Man, save yourself all the trouble. Save yourself the drama. Save yourself the garbage. Delight thyself in the Lord. Have pleasure in the Lord. When you trust the Lord, it's easy to have pleasure in what He's doing in our life. Easy. Not when He does or allows, not what He always does or allows is always easy. When God has to put you through something, it's not always easy. But the outcome, what's the outcome like? Tell me, everyone here that has been delivered from something, how is it? Is it not pleasurable? Yes, it is. You know it is. But going through it may not be. But let me tell you something. Going through the trials and tribulations and disgusting sins of this world doesn't have any pleasure in it afterwards. None. You reap scars, man, and hurts and pains like you know. I mean, listen, you'll carry them for the rest of your life. Forever and eternity. Let me just tell you something. As long as you're breathing on this earth, you're going to carry those scars with you. You're going to carry that stuff with you. But there's relief, and His name is Jesus Christ. He can relieve that pain. He says, now you can have pleasure. And not only here with Jesus Christ will we have pleasure, but He says we'll have pleasure forevermore in heaven. forevermore. Never going to stop. And we can't fathom that. Why? Because we're such a little brains.
We all think that we have a big brain and we're all smart and this and that. Let me tell you something. Compared to God, we ain't got no brain. It's a no-brainer to know that God has the brains and we don't. Why do we need to trust in Him if we know everything? Why do we need to trust in Him if He knows everything? Tell me. Why does He always say over and over and over again to rely on Him, to trust in Him if we know everything? Why do we need Him?
My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Listen, it's always going to be higher than our ways. His thoughts are always going to be better than our thoughts. We may not always understand Him, but I'm just telling you now, we need to rely on Him and trust Him. With delighting in the Lord, trusting in Him, our desires will change and become more in line with His will. And therefore, He will grant the desires of our heart. The second half of that verse says, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a lost person, you're not going to get the desires of your heart. You're going to get the lust of your heart. You're going to get the sins that are in your heart. He's going to turn you over to that garbage. That's going to be the desire of your heart. But I'm just going to tell you right now, when you get saved and He starts changing your heart, you'll have different desires. They'll line up with His will. Not always. Well, He'll get you to line them up with His will. And guess what He'll do then? Then He'll give you the desires of your heart. Right now, even in the midst of the trouble that I'm in, I still have a marriage that's a desire of my heart. I still have a family that's a desire of my heart. I still have a Bible that's in front of me that's a desire of my heart. I still have things. I still have a job. Listen. I'm in a lot of pain. I told my wife knows this. I told the teens this morning. I said, in the pain that I'm in every single day, physically, would drive a normal person to the emergency room every day. That's what I deal with, the pain. But you know what? I have a great and merciful God. And you know what? I'm not going to give up my life just because I have pain. I refuse to give up my life for pain. Didn't I just tell you that last week, Mom? I just had a talk with my mom last week. I said, Mother, I refuse to give up my life because I have pain. Why? 40 years I lived for hell. 40 years I gave my life over to the devil. I just started living and I'm going to keep on living until He takes me out of here. I'll deal with the pain. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. That's just how it is, man. I'm not giving up my life. I'm not giving up my hunting unless God calls me to give up hunting. I'm still going to walk uphill. Hey, Luke, how was it to walk up that big old hill with your dad yesterday? Huh? Now, if I didn't give up those things in my life, I wouldn't have walked up a hill with my son. I wouldn't have been able to do that kind of stuff with my son. He turned around, he put a smile on his face, and you know what? That was enough for me, man, to make me want to do it even more. Right, buddy? That's right. Not giving up my life. I just started living. Just started living. And that's why I'm saying the desires of my heart now. The desires of my heart have changed. I don't have the desire to be a drug addict. I don't have a desire to be a womanizer. I don't have a desire to be out there being a drunk. I don't have a desire to be out there gangbanging and all that garbage that I used to be in. I just don't. Those desires are gone. I've been free from those things. For all those years I lived as though I was a free man. And I was chained and bound. And I'm just going to tell you, 3 years ago, the fetters came off of me. They broke off of me. The chains are off of me. They're gone for good. It's permanently. No, I am not in recovery. I'm recovered. It's over with. It's done. It's been written. It's over with. I don't have that stuff in my life anymore. So I have new desires in my heart now.
Amen.
New desires. New desires. You know what? The new desires in my heart are good ones. Not always. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being, but they ain't nothing like they used to be. Oh. If I sat here and told you just a few, it would be too many of the desires that used to be in my heart.
Oh, God.
You know. Yeah, brother, you know. Verse 5 says, commit the way unto the Lord. Notice the word way. It's singular. It didn't say ways. It said way. Singular. One way. Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. Our way is to be committed unto Him. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Notice the word way is singular because our way should be His way. John 14:6 saith unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Clearly we are to commit our way to conform to His way. Our lives should be committed unto Him. We see also in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So we need to commit our lives and our works unto Him. And when we do, the second half of the verse, I'll share that with you in a minute. But our way our commitment, our way. You see, there's one way to walk, and that's with Jesus Christ. There's one way we should be going, and that's with Him. We should not be going down the way of the evildoers. We should not be doing what they're doing, but we should be doing what He wants us to do. Going the way He's made for us. His way. Singular. One way. His way. It's never going to be Dale Morey's way, Amy Morey's way, Tanya Spencer's way. It's never. You're never going to make it that way. Debbie, it'll never be your way. It's got to be His way or no way. I promise you that with all that I am. Amen. You will never make it your own way.
Amen.
How do I know that? Why are you sitting in church and hearing the truth? You know it. That's why you're here. Because you can't make it your own way. That's why He said, come, commit. Commit your way. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Our way. Commit ourselves. Let's make some commitments to Him. We committed to this world. We committed to the devil. We committed to sins. We committed to go ahead and sell ourselves out there. Why not commit unto the Lord? Give a commitment for your life. Give a commitment what He wants for you. Who cares about what everybody else thinks? Who cares about what this world thinks of you or looks at you? Commit your way into Him. He's got something better. I promise you He's got something better. It's not a person who got saved and their life got worse. If it is, it's because they lived in their own sin and He had to deal with them on it. But I'm just telling you now, you go ahead and commit your way. Oh, listen, the only way my life will get worse is if it be my stupidity. But if my ways are committed unto Him, it's only going to get better. Don't think we can't get in the flesh and our life will be bad. Because as the same person, no question, you can, even unto death. But I'm just telling you now, if your way is committed unto God, I'm just telling you it's life of peace and joy and happiness, victory. I mean, even in darkness, even in hard times, man, there's still smiles on my face. Dale Morey still shows his face on Sunday mornings, Wednesdays, Thursdays. I don't miss church service. Oh, no, not me. Not the four of us that live in the Morey house. We're not having it. That's something the Lord had to deal with me. You know what? He dealt with me on it, and I committed my way to Him. I committed my way to be at the services, every service that I can. Unless I'm preaching somewhere else, but we're still in the service. And if I'm in Albany, we have a church that we go to there. I'm in a service. I am not missing the house of God. Because as soon as I do, oh, Amy, do you have to stand up and testify? You know how bad it can get for us. I mean, real bad. And I'm just not living that way. And what am I showing my kids when they miss? Here I am, up here preaching to them, showing them how, you know, reading the Bible to them and loving them and trying to teach them a Christian way, and then I go ahead and miss. And what am I showing them? What am I showing my children? That my way is not committed. I've not committed fully. I'm surrendering to God. I'm going to commit my way. Let's see what it says here. Verse 5. I'm going to go to number 5, I'm sorry. It says, this is to be the second half of verse 5. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will bring the commitment, the works, and the thoughts to pass. They will be established by Him. He said He'll bring these things to pass. But then you've got to make a commitment. You've got to stop fretting. You've got to start trusting in Him. You've got to go ahead and you've got to commit yourself unto Him. And He's going to bring these things to pass. They're going to come to pass when you do that. These things are going to come to pass. You know what we all said? Well, you know, I trained for a week. Listen, it's going to take more than a week. It took 43 years to make me into who I was. You think it all changed in 3 years since I've been saved? If you think that, I'm sorry you think that. God forbid if I ever lied to you, if it made you think any different. I'm going to tell you right now, there's things in my life, man, that are bad, pretty darn bad, that God has to deal with and get them out of my life. Commit, but you got to be committed. And I don't know how to say it. Really, I just... My wife thinks she can look up to me, and I don't want her to ever look up to me. I don't ever... But she doesn't understand. I made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and that's why I have what I have in my life. I mean, as me personally. I made a commitment to Jesus Christ that I'm going to change what He shows me. That I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I've made that commitment. I want her to see that. That it's not me who does this. It could never, in a million years, could Dale Morey ever do what's going on in my life right now. Ever. Ever. It's impossible. I wouldn't have been your friend. We would have been enemies. Are you kidding me? Gang banging? Oh, all for it. All day long. I'm ready to do this stuff. Out there slinging drugs and doing it. Oh, I'm all good for it. I was all good for that stuff. But I made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to tell you now, He's going to just about beat it out of me. And this doesn't come at a low cost. This comes at a price. And that price is a commitment unto him. Because he made a commitment to me. They all walked by him and said, well, come off the cross. You saved others, you saved yourself. I can't. Dale Morey. Dale Morey needs me one day. He said on that cross with Dale Morey so that one day I can stand up and be a saved person. Do you understand that? Why would I commit my life to him for that? Why would I not commit my life to somebody who would do that for me? Who could have came off that cross at any time. And he's seen every single face in this room. He's seen them. He said, no, I'm not coming off. One day he's going to call or she's going to call my name. I need to be here. You know who gave me that revelation? My father. My father showed me that one day. And it gave me such comfort in my heart. I just couldn't believe it. And all I was simply doing is got up at 4 o'clock in the morning before I went hunting. I was reading the book of Matthew. And he showed me that. It just meant the world to me that day.
Amen.
Because he could have came off that cross. But he's seen every face in this room. He said, no, I need to stay up there. One day they're going to call my name and I got to be there. Why wouldn't you want to commit to the one who will do that for you? And I mean that. Why would you not want to commit to him? Why would your heart not want to be committed to that one? Oh, no matter how much I stand up here and say, yeah, sure, I'd love to die for my family and all that. I can't commit like he did. I may be able to help save them in the flesh, but I can't save their soul for eternity. I can't do it. He did. He did better than I ever could for my family.
Amen.
They just don't realize it yet. Luke and Tom don't realize it yet. But I let God work in them. But they don't realize that they got a daddy because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
James, they got a daddy because of Jesus, man. They got a daddy because of Jesus Christ. That's who gave them a daddy. You got a new daddy, didn't you, buddy? That's right. That's right. Why would I commit myself just so my kids can see what I'm about? So they can look and say, my dad loves Jesus Christ because Jesus loved him. Well, you know, one day they're going to be loosed out into this world. One day daddy and mommy's not going to be here. I'll be in heaven enjoying myself. But my children are going to be here. How are they going to be? Are they going to be like... I can't remember the two girls that were in the concentration camp. Even daddy's love in this house. Even out in the world. Even out in the world, my children are going to be out there. How are they going to be out there living? How are they going to be out there showing people things? Of the world? Are they going to say, no. Even daddy's love for Jesus Christ. Even that right now can work in this cold, cruel world. Are they going to know that? Is that going to be their motive in life? Are they going to be able to share that with somebody else? I'm going to finish. I'm not going to finish the whole thing, but I want to get to one more. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. Rest. Do you guys know what it's like to have a good night's sleep? I do. Ever since I got saved. I got a clean conscience. Yeah, buddy. I sleep good at night. I have no worries about my conscience. It doesn't keep me awake anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore about the things I've done. I got a clean, clear conscience because Jesus Christ came in there and he took that from. Here, go ahead and sleep. I mean, I remember now I almost didn't go to sleep. I think it was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I finally settled down. I was shaking, sweating, ready to run out the door preaching the night I got saved. But I was rested. I mean, it felt like, could you imagine right now being underneath this church? I mean, all the way to the bottom, even to the floor of the basement, and being underneath that cement and having that whole weight on top of you. Now imagine if somebody came by and took that whole weight off of you. It must be October 11th. I got that weight taken off of me, and I tell you what, I almost did backflips. My wife was like, honey, you got to calm down. You got to keep the neighbors up. I wanted to go out. Why? I finally got rest in the Lord. The definition of rest is to be quiet or tranquil as the mind, not to be agitated by fear, anxiety, or other passion. This is what Jesus is telling us, and I'm going to close with this in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How sweet it is in these times when we have rest in the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Notice the word careth. E-T-H is on the end of that careth. That means that his care never stops for you.
Amen.
Never stops for you. He's constantly, continually caring for you. And he, what did he say? Cast them on him. Cast your cares upon him, and then you can find rest. Then you'll find rest when you cast your cares upon Jesus Christ. When you're trying to hold that load yourself, when you're trying to hold those burdens yourself, you won't have rest, but you go ahead and give them to Jesus Christ. Guess what? You'll get rest. He promises you that. He wants to give you. He says, come unto me. Come on, give them to me. He can handle them. I'm done.